Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Brother Seth. Sister Arlene today will not be joining us, so you just guys are stuck with me today. But we're going to have a very exciting time again talking about one of the most rare subjects ever to be spoken of on our planet right now, and that is because it is probably, out of at least most stuff that I talk about, it is the biggest backbreaker to white supremacy I know of, okay? And a lot of people don't like that word, white supremacy. I know it makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable, but basically idolatry, the worship of a people, the worship of a philosophy, the worship, we're not supposed to worship anything outside of the Most High. So when we have philosophies where people just simply make up things on their own, simply just make up doctrine, that is nothing more than white supremacy. I mean, nothing more than idolatry. So tonight we're dismantling, or this morning we're dismantling another idol in the church, in society, and that is the idol of white supremacy. Today is the Shabbat, as many as you know, or the Sabbath. For those that observe it, everybody don't observe today as a Sabbath. I understand that. To some of you, it's just Saturday. So welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host again, Five Smooth Stones. I'm Brother Seth. And we will just dig into this. I think we'll play a little bit of the Dr. Jewel Pookrum today, and she's going to hit some things again y'all never heard of regarding leprosy. Now, today, as you know, we talk about Bible leprosy, which is nothing more, a form of Bible leprosy is nothing more than vitiligo and albinism, okay? And but in order to understand that, or understand albinism and vitiligo, that's the modern names for it. But in Bible days, it was a type of leprosy. There were other types. In efforts to understand that, we look at the extreme opposite of albinism, the extreme opposite of vitiligo. These are conditions where pigmentation is absent or become absent. Well, let's look at the pigmentation itself, melanin. Somebody might say, well, what does this have to do with, I would say, some of you that are practicing the Sabbath? I know today is a very high and holy day for you, and it should be. And you're probably saying, you know what, we've commanded on this day to worship the Most High. This is His day. This is His time. And I don't feel like this subject is really edifying or lifting him up. Well, this subject is a part of the Bible. This subject has its own chapter in the Bible. And I believe that the Most High have put truth out in the earth, and all truth is not in the Bible. Now, again, this subject, most of it is in the Bible. When we talk about leprosy and so forth, yes, it is in the Bible. But I do believe that the properties of melanin and the amazing things that it does have been put out there by the Most High, the same Most High. He is the one that invented melanin. He is the one that created the earth. The melanin is nothing more than the earth. So today we're looking into His glory, looking into something He did, studying something He did, studying the properties He put within the earth. So even though it is the Shabbat and many of you want to study His heart and what He wanted, I think it is totally in line to study melanin on the Shabbat, or the properties of melanin, what it does, what it is, because we live in a world that has not only taken from the Bible, but there's lost books, there's lost information, and we cannot be a prey of the enemy. We cannot allow the enemy to come into our lives, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, and steal the Most High's glory. Now, back in the day, before the lies and all of the commercials, we're talking about an ancient time, going back thousands of years ago, they knew what melanin was. They knew about its properties. They knew about its secrets. It's just, it wasn't really secrets, I should say. Now it's a secret. But they knew what that blackness meant. And if you lost the blackness and you found yourself without pigmentation, they knew what that meant. But in today's society, we don't know what it means because we've been lied to so much. We actually worship the losing of the pigmentation. We actually worship the white skin, and we hate the darkness or the earth that's supposed to cover it. Folks, we are really sick. I'm serious. We're really sick, and we don't understand what the Most High has given us. So what better day than on the Sabbath, so for those of you that observe it, and I only said that a little bit because some of you are very serious about the Sabbath. You want to make sure you're doing nothing but something that glorifies the Most High. But just like you would study about the glory of a particular president or the glory of America, we're talking about today the glory of the Most High, talking about his earth and how he clothed man with this brownness or this earth and what that means. Folks, I'm telling you, you've got to listen, have an open mind, get your Bible, get a notepad, get the tape recorder maybe, and just sit down prayerfully, as you should do with any message you hear, and just look to see what the Most High have to say on this subject. I guarantee you I would not waste your time, and I guarantee you it is truly something that will help you see the Most High in a different light. This is all Five Smooth Stones is about, bringing people into a closer walk with the Most High. It's just that simple. So anyway, again, welcome to another episode, and I mean that welcome. I don't just say that to be whatever. I'm really thankful that y'all joined us, thankful that you thought about us this morning, because you could have been doing so many other things. And so we don't take that for granted. So anyway, hopefully everybody's doing good. I mean, I know it's kind of early for those of us that on Central Standard Time and I guess Pacific Time and Mountain Time early. So anyway, I know in Texas it looks really sunny and beautiful, at least in my city. So anyway, let's jump right into this with opening up with prayer, okay? So let's do that and invite the Father into our affairs. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another Sabbath day. Thank you for another day that you created for your glory, for your worship. And we chose to worship you today. We chose to worship you by way of studying your word. And Father, as we study the scriptures today, parts of this Torah, we ask that you would reveal it unto those of us that seek and search out your will for our lives. Father, we're very serious this morning. We're very serious this morning in seeking you. We want truth as it pertains to this subject. We want you to reveal what did you have in your heart for this so-called melanin. What did you have in your heart towards the so-called leprosy? What is it? Why is it? Why does it matter? What does it have to do with our lives today, if it does have to do with our lives today? Reveal to your followers, reveal to those that seek your heart the truth. Not so much what Brother Seth said, but reveal to them by the Holy Spirit the truth regarding this subject. These things we pray, these things is our heart's cry. We're very serious in this request. These things we ask, these things we cry out for in the name of your beloved Son, the Messiah.
okay, people, you know, this subject is just so broad. I can never preach on it enough. When we start talking about leprosy, that's going to open up the doors to different skin types. And I know a lot of y'all are probably saying, what does this have to do with today? Well, my friend, in 2011, which is when I'm making this video, we live in a world where white supremacy, a lot of people want to say it's gone, done, we're all one now, we're marrying whites, they're marrying us, there's no more racism, we're all just one happy family. And if you've got your eyes open and you're alert, spiritually aware, you know that it's far, far, far from the truth. So, Brother Seth is here today to shed light on an old demon that has controlled the planet for a very long time. I want to share a day vision I had. This is my first time sharing this ever on Blog Talk. Why I paid to listen to every single episode of this whole thing dealing with leprosy? Because each week I share something that I didn't share before. I don't mean eight something. Each week I share on each broadcast something that's unique to that particular broadcast. So, folks, I want to share with you this day vision I have. Any of you that know me probably have heard this, just bear with those that haven't heard it before. I forget the actual day, but I remember sitting and I was contemplating or thinking about this whole notion of white supremacy. And I was thinking about when I said day vision, what that means is I'm sitting up, I'm not asleep, it's not a night vision, it's not a dream, it's like you go in a trance. And you see something. That's what we call day vision. Okay? But I'm sitting up and I'm contemplating, thinking about, you know, trying to get a grip on white supremacy. And it was as if the Most High took me on a little short, probably 15-second trip. Or, I don't know how to explain it, just, but on a, I begin to see this, you'll know what I mean as I explain it more. But I saw something in front of me that was dark, and I went to, it was really blocking my view. Just think of a giant tree in front of you out of the clear blue, and you can't see around it because it's blocking your view. I went to move this, for whatever reason, I went to move this out of my mind, out of my view, okay? And when I went to move this dim-looking object, like I say, like a tree or maybe a small tree, not a small tree, but a medium, not one of them big oak trees that block your whole vision for real, but just a regular tree. It was a dark object. So I went to move it, and it didn't move. So I went to push a little harder, and it didn't push. So I began to really put all my thrust into this thing to get it out of the way. Why I'm trying to move it out of the way, I don't know, folks. I was just trying to move it out of the way. So something dawned on me to find out what this is I'm trying to move. So I began to try to back up to see, well, first of all, I began to look at it, and I could see the top, and I began to back up to see, okay, well, what is this? Let me size this thing up. So I began to back up, and I began to look at it, and back up, and begin to look at it, and as I backed up, I couldn't see the top of it. I said, what is this? What is this? So I began to back up more, and finally, I had to actually have someone to drive me away from the things because I couldn't walk it. It was too high. It was too high. I couldn't see the top. So I wanted to keep walking for days and days and days so I could have somebody to drive. And they kept driving, and I kept looking for the top, and they kept driving out further and further and further away from this object. I still couldn't see the top, And finally, I noticed it was outside of the city, and I still couldn't see the top. And finally, I saw the top. And it was an image. And it was like a being or whatever you might call this thing. And it looked at me. And it looked at me, the look of it scared me, put fear in me. The reason why I got fearful when I saw it, it looked at me with this, it's like a monster, if you will, but it was upset because I saw it. It was like, who are you that you should even see me? And then I heard this. This is the stronghold of white supremacy. Now, I've shared that with many people. I've gotten many responses to it. I mean, maybe it was just my mind. Maybe it wasn't the Most High at all that showed me, okay? But after that little whatever you want to call that, I began to start learning thousands of pages of information, of proof of white supremacy in our society. I began to start seeing white supremacy in various aspects of our society. And I mean, I jumped on it, and it's like it came almost like a calling. I began to see white supremacy in school systems and in the education arena, how the disparity between how the kids are treated, the funding for the schools, the graduation rates, why people are graduating. You know, at first it was like, oh, you're just a bunch of bad kids. I began to look and see a system of white supremacy. I began to even see whites on the internet in various places and even in life admit to something called white privilege. Up until then, I never heard of it. This is where they was actually saying, yes, I do benefit from being white. There is benefits to being white, and it's more so than being black. Because, you know, being black, sometimes you can get people to do their hookup and all that, but it's nothing like the hookup of being white and putting your name on applications and different things. And I began to see an entire system that had America by the throat, in many parts of the world by the throat, not everywhere, but a lot of places. It's alive and well, and it's just not in the education arena, it's in the science arena, it's in every single aspect of life. You just think of an aspect right now of life, any aspect you want to think of. You can think of science and technology, it's there. Well, how is it in science and technology? It's in science and technology because a lot of the science and technologies that have been invented by so-called African Americans, and they'll never get the credit. And so at some point you got to ask yourself, why do we suffer in every aspect of life more so than our white brothers and sisters? Sooner or later, you're going to get down to color. Sooner or later, you're going to get down to color. And so you got to ask yourself, why do we suffer over this thing called color? Why is this? I mean, what's really going on? So I began to really look into it. I become fascinated with it. I began to pray about it. I began to fast about it. I began to read my Bible about it. I began to ask people about it. I began to study. And you know the scripture says, when you pursue something, you will find it. When you pursue something, you will find it.
So I begin to pursue. I begin to ask questions. Some of the older people, I've learned to talk with older people and see, get their take on it. So I begin to start asking, you know, I don't know if I talk much to my mom about it, but I begin, well, actually, she always talked about the disparity. She would just talk about the difference between white people or white folks, as she would say, and black folks. And so I would just begin to learn different things and begin to just really take note. And it began to hurt my heart to find out all these things that was going on in our so-called nation. Even a lot of the entertainment, and even in the entertainment industry, a lot of people, a lot of cartoons, a lot of my early shows as a young person. I just went through a lot of hell looking back, realizing that these people were a bunch of racists, a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And so that's going to make any person kind of wonder, why? Why? Why is this? So make the long story short, it ended up being a calling. The Most High was calling me into this message, and I didn't even realize it. But as I look back over my life, seeing that my mother and I, we was part of a church, and that was one of the first churches that became integrated. We just always been around this subject. We've always been around whites. We've always been around this subject. We've always heard about it. We went through a lot of pain over it in schools. We went to integrated schools. We went to different things. My brother and I, sisters, and just our family have always been familiar with racism, okay? It's just been one of those things that's real. So I said all that to say, this message today that we're going to get into, we're going to get some hard stuff, y'all. This message today is going to give you hopefully some answers and some solutions to destroying this horrible, evil philosophy. This message today will hopefully give you tools to destroy this idolatry in your own life. Because I'm going to tell you, my friend, if when you think about the Bible, as you know, we've done this over the weeks, we've asked everybody to close their eyes and think of the Messiah and his disciples and him, a situation like when he said the 5,000, and we've asked everyone, tell us, what images did you see? When you imagine your Lord and Savior feeding the 5,000, what images did you see? We've asked that question. Now, and we've said to people, if you don't see an image very similar to the inner city of Atlanta or Chicago, then you really and truly do not see the Bible the way it really is. This study is to show you and to help you get a clear understanding of who those people were in the Bible and why it matters. What it has to do with your salvation. What it has to do with your children, raising children. Because I think this so-called identity crisis that so-called African Americans are going through, I think there's a reason for it. And I think the only antidote to low self-esteem, self-hate, self-destruction, the solution has to be in the Bible. Now, we know, those of us that have been in church for a while, we know that knowing who you are in Christ is 1,000 times more important than knowing about leprosy or what anything having to do with skin color. But you're not going to be quite right, though, because Christ said, man shall live by every word. We don't just need one part of the scriptures. We need all of it. There is a reason we have the Old Testament. Many people have tried to discredit it for a long, long, long time. But we begin to understand that it does matter who you are in the flesh. You just don't supposed to approach the Most High with it
in terms of trying to get points because you're black or trying to get points because you're white. But in terms of understanding where you come from, why things are the way they are, it is vitally important you understand your heritage, especially if you are an Israelite. So, anyway, folks, we do believe that so-called black people and other non-white people scattered through the four corners are true Israel. We do talk about it. We don't ever get tired of talking about it. Yes, we believe that. And the reason it's important is because Israel has a vital role in prophecy. It's very important we know who Israel is. It's very important Israel know who Israel is. Because if the Israelites are scattered through the four corners, as the Most High said they would be, and they are, and they don't know who they are, they're going to have self-hatred. They're going to disrespect themselves. They're going to not like their own home. The scripture says that Israel cried unto the Most High and said, how long shall we suffer? How long shall we go through hell, Most High? And the response was, till your houses are led by women. We talk about that on Sundays when we talk about who are the true Israelites. That's a Sunday's broadcast at 3:30 Central Standard Time. When we go into the proof, biblical proof of who are the real Israelites, who are the real Jews, and why does it matter? What does it have to do with today in your life, in your affairs? You listening to me right now, what it have to do with you? And it does have to do with you. If you find yourself today as a white person or Hispanic person or a so-called black person, I'm telling you, folks, believe me, you've got to listen on Sundays at 3:30 Central Time where we talk about who the true Jews are and why does it matter. It is an eye-opener. While I'm at it, I'll just go ahead and go through the schedule quickly before we jump into the scriptures. Tuesday night, we're right now talking about to the Israelites scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, trying to organize them, mainly mentally, spiritually right now, but eventually it will be physically. We try to interview Israelites, again, scattered through the four corners. I mean, we're talking about the real Israelites, okay, the real Jews, people that have been living it from birth, some of them. Some of them have been brought up like this, and they're not white. The reason why I keep saying white, black, is because we've got to understand, folks, and we're going to hopefully learn, get this understanding in our study today, but we got to understand that the Most High never chose white skin to bring up his people, or he never chose, we got to understand, let me say it another way, we got to understand that the choice for the Most High's physical makeup of man was brown dust. And I know some of y'all is just rubbing y'all the wrong way because we've been programmed to not talk about it. But on the other hand, some people are going throughout the whole world making sure that all the images that people see of greatness and goodness is white. Especially what it has to do with the Most High. Somebody has got to talk about this. Somebody has got to weigh in on this. Somebody has got to bring the balance. And I believe that the Most High is raising up prophets to deal with this. You can't start a church and just run a church just on this subject. There's other topics we talk about on this blog. But this right here is one of the topics, or one of the five smooth stones, we call it. Okay? Leprosy. So anyway, it's very important to know who Israel is. Very important to know who Israel is. So on Tuesday night at midnight, we talk to Israelites scattered throughout the four corners. These people live out, this is how you know who's a real Jew. These people live out Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and any other prophetic scriptures that Israel is to live out. These are the only people we acknowledge as Israel. There is no proof, no solid proof that you can use DNA to validate jewelry or validate that someone is a Jew. We don't acknowledge that. When I say we, I mean not just me, but millions of people that do subscribe to this belief that Israel is scattered like the Bible says, and that Israel is to go through certain things that Moses said in Deuteronomy 28 and 46. We believe these are true Israelites, those that live out that. Okay? So, and like I said, the other verses. So, anyway, that's on Tuesday night. We talk to them, interview them, ask them how to live the Israelites. They'll tell us how. And then when we don't have them on, we're talking about organizing as a nation, a scattered nation, organizing. What can we do better? What can we do better? Showing more love to those that don't know the truth yet, having more patience with those that are not quite, may not know names like Yahweh or Yah or Yeshua or Yahweh, you know, these Hebrew names, the Hebrew interpretations of the Bible. Some of y'all are learning, and that is great, good, and you should, but don't forget where you come from, and don't condemn people that came from where you come from. We talk about that on Tuesday night. Thursday night is the most popular show that we do, and that is on the One World Government. We call it the One World Watch Society. So this is a society of people that come together on Thursday nights at midnight and talk about the powers that be. Last Thursday was just off the chain. I mean, we end up going over the time, and we end up just really just getting into it. And so I think we had probably, I don't know if we set a record that night of listeners, but it's a very important show. We talked about demons for a while. Last week we talked about the banking cartel, international banking for a little bit. And this week we just mainly talked about just a little bit of everything. It's just one of those shows where we just talk about several things. It was a very good show. But that's the most popular show we do. Some of the One World Government, Illuminati, Secret Societies, what's really going on, what's really, really going on, and then what's really going on, okay? That's on Thursday night, midnight. That's another late night show. And then tonight, today, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, we talk about right now we're on this leprosy. So if everybody have your Bible, please turn in your Bible to Leviticus 13. All right? Now, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to actually talk about leprosy for a little bit. Then we're going to listen to Dr. Jewel Pookrum talk about the extreme opposite of melanin. I mean, the extreme opposite of leprosy, which is melanin. And I just always enjoy listening to her because this woman knows her stuff. This woman knows her stuff. This woman is one of the world authorities on melanin. I'm going to try to have her on the show. I'm going to try to have her on this show for you. So those of you that have been listening and following this leprosy series, you're going to get a treat because we're going to try to have Dr. Jewel Pookrum on, and she'll go into this more specifically. But let's talk about, for now, leprosy. Leprosy. What is leprosy? Now, you'll notice that in the Leviticus 13, this entire chapter, it's going to talk about more than one type of leprosy, okay? It's going to talk about leprosy that was spot, just simply a spot. It just never stopped from being a spot, okay? It may spread a little or it may not spread, but it's just simply a spot. How big a spot? Well, that just depends. It's big enough for the priest to see. And then there's other leprosy that you talk about, we'll talk about and read about it in a little bit, where it's actually another type of leprosy is when that spot starts to spread and it covers the whole body. So eventually the person is entirely white. That today we have a name for that. We call it vitiligo. That's in the Bible. We'll read about it here shortly.
And then we're going to talk about people that were cursed with whiteness or to be white forever. And that's in 2 Kings 5. Please write these scriptures to Sam. 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5. And we'll try to read that. Some verses we read every single week. Those of you that have been following this, you just got to be patient because we've got to read this every single week. It's just one of those things that's going to happen, okay? Then we go into some new stuff. So bear with me. I wouldn't advise you to go pick something to eat and come back out the bus because I'm talking about these things you already know. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. What I would do is just continue listening until I get on the topic that you want to, that may be more inviting, that may be more interesting, okay? So let's do this. Let's go ahead and read Leviticus 13, okay? Let's go ahead and read Leviticus 13. And the Lord are, we know that back in the day when the Bible was first created, wasn't Lord. It was YHWH. This is what it said. It didn't say the word Lord. But because I'm always trying to reach out to everybody, and I don't want people to feel uncomfortable who have no clue on what I'm saying when I say Yahweh. They don't know what I'm talking about, and they feel it gets them nervous, and it makes them want to turn it off, and they won't even get the truth because they're choking on this Hebrew because they don't know what I'm talking about. It just don't make sense for me to read the book like that. So with here at Five Smooth Stones, we read the Bible the way the Bible is. Okay, those of us that know better, we just know better. And when we have an all-Hebrew class, then and only then, we know for certain that everybody that's listening understand what we're saying. As Paul talks about when you do tongues, kind of like when you do the tongues, when everybody understands, then we will say Yahweh. And Yahweh spake unto Moses. Same as it with Christ. Instead of saying Jesus, we know there was no J in the Hebrew language. Then we will say Emmanuel. Or then we will say the Messiah. Or then we will say Yahweh Shah. Or we will say Yahweh Shah or the various other names y'all out there debating it is, okay? So let's just try to be accommodating to all people. And I know that the Most High understand our hearts in that effort, okay? And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh, this is going to be inside of the skin. Sometimes it's on top of the skin where you can run your fingernails across, and your fingernails will stop because something is on top of the skin, like a scab, what we call a scab today. Don't necessarily mean that's what this Bible is calling a scab. What we call a scab. But anyway, look for things on top of the skin and in under the skin, okay? When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron, the priest, or to one of the sons, or one of his sons, the priest. Now watch this, folks. Go back to where it says, like the plague of leprosy. Like the plague of leprosy. Now, I have a little bit of trouble with that. Because if you will flip over to verse 14, chapter 14 and 54, Leviticus 14 and 54, Leviticus 14 and 54, just flip over a few pages. It says, this is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy. Read again. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scarlet. And for the leprosy of a garment. That's a different kind of leprosy. These are the different types. They're telling you what you just read. We're going to the end, and then we're going to back up and read the beginning. But I want to skip to the end to show you what we're about to read in verse 13 and 1. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scarlet. That's one. Plague of leprosy. That's one. And scarlet, that's two. And for the leprosy of a garment, that's three. And of a house, that's four. And for a rising, that's five. And for a scab, that's six. And for a bright spot, that's seven. Seven unique types of variations of leprosy to teach when it is unclean and when it's clean. This is the law of leprosy. We're not going to read every single type, like the law that the leprosy that's in the house. Again, I've asked everyone week after week after week, please read this on your own, because my goal is to show a lot of different scriptures for you to go and find out things yourself. Do not trust people out here trying to teach you. A lot of people are arrogant. A lot of people stuck on themselves. A lot of people hate other groups, and they don't teach right. They don't. So you need to be taught by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you have an unction inside of you, 1 Peter, and you need not that any man should teach you. Now, you know, I'm not saying you should sit down in front of a teacher, but the ultimate teacher, the one, the thing that's going to bear witness to what that person is saying, or like I'm talking to you right now, the thing that's going to approve of me is the teacher inside of you. So you really don't need me, but sometimes people just can't hear because of the way they brought up. The Baptists don't like the holiness, and they don't believe in tongues, and they're not open even up to tongues, and they only want to talk about it, and they don't like healings, and the Pentecostal people, they got issues because they don't respect, you know, baptism like they should, like the Baptists do, and then the Seventh-day Adventists, they got issues called folks worshiping on, you know, not the proper day, and then you got the charismatic folks that believe that, I mean, all these people have just got their own prejudices. And it causes us to be, you know, to retard in growth. So anyway, folks, these are various types of leprosy. Now let's go back and let's look at something. This is what I was going to show you, what I have a trouble with. Don't think the Bible hasn't been tampered with, but watch this. Now, when a person is born white, that's a form of leprosy. When I say born white, I mean born an albino. That's a type of leprosy. We'll see it because when we're talking about the skin turning white, when skin turns white, it's the color normally of albinos. Normally. But there's nowhere in Leviticus 13 where it talks about albinos. It's like when this was wrote, it was like y'all know what albino is. Isn't right? Okay. And then they proceeded to say, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arise in a scab, a bright spot, and it be like in his flesh albinoism, then he shall be brought unto Aaron to be. That's almost how this is reading. Now, some of y'all say, I don't see that. Okay, follow me, stay with me. Because what this giver describes is the same kind of white flesh, but how come nowhere in Leviticus 13 does it not talk about the whole body being white? Yes, it talks about when all the skin is turned white, but I'm talking about being born that way. It don't happen because when this was wrote, they all knew that when you're born all white, that was leprosy. Some of y'all didn't get that. Some of y'all didn't get that. So, hopefully y'all really got that honest. I'm just kind of, you know, being facetious here. But I really hope y'all got that because that's major, major, major. Because now let's flip over. Now I want you to put your finger there. Now I know some of y'all. Put your finger there, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about real quick. Go over to 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5. When you get there, say amen.
Okay, let's get to the very last verse. I'm going to tell you this story real briefly because I say this every single week. And for those that never heard this, I apologize. But, again, we've said this every single week. So I want to let Dr. Jewel Pookham be able to really go into melanin and share a lot of deep things on this audio. It's an audio clip, and I want her to be able to really get a lot of in. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time going over what we already talked about. But I will, for those new people, just kind of hit this a little bit. But leprosy, whatever it is, I believe it's nothing more or a form of leprosy. A form of leprosy. We just talked about the different forms. A form of leprosy is having vitiligo or losing your pigmentation slowly. Another form of leprosy is when you're born and you're all white, like an albino. White people today are not albinos, most of them, because they have got melanin some kind of way. And that's what turns this, why their hair is not blonde and white, because they've mixed with melanin. That's why your hair and my hair, those of you that are so-called African-American, that's why your hair is not blonde and not white, because we're mixed with melanin. The more melanin you get, the darker your hair gets, the darker your pupils get. And some of this is just science 101, folks. Some of y'all learn this in basic biology, okay? So this is not racism. This is Bible and this is science. Science backs up Bible. Bible backs up science. That's true science. Not none of that lying stuff, okay? So watch this. Go with me. This is going to be major, major, major. Check this out. So this here's a brother smitten with leprosy. Now, we are told today that leprosy is fingers falling off or twisted up, pus, blood, all this stuff, right? That's what the preachers are saying leprosy is. I submit to you that has nothing to do with leprosy. I submit to you that has nothing, absolutely zero to do with leprosy. Listen to this scripture. I'm going to quote you Exodus 4 and 6. The Most High, and we're going to get into 17:5, but just check me out if you're following. Exodus 4 and 6 says, the Most High actually commands Moses to put his hand in his bosom. Moses put his hand in his bosom, and when he takes his hand out, his hand is white. Now, if his hand is white, he couldn't have been white, but that's another subject. What I'm trying to say to you is his hand was white. And the Bible says, and Moses became leprous as snow. And Moses became leprous as snow. Why would snow be used for white? That is the craziest thing in the world. Why would it be used for white? It's simply crazy. Now, let's just say that's not what the Most High meant. He meant something else. So let's look at Numbers 12 and 10. Numbers 12 and 10, keep your finger in Leviticus 13, 2 Kings 5. Sometimes we do this. You got to keep more than one. We do more than one chapter, more than one verse at the same time. It's just the way I teach, okay? Numbers 12 and 10. Miriam is smitten with the same thing, whatever it is. I say whatever it is for the benefit of you who don't believe quite yet what I'm saying. She's smitten with whatever it is. And the Bible describes it, and Miriam became leprous as snow. Back in the day, they said that a lot. So-and-so became leprous as snow. Leprous as snow. Leprous as snow. Leprosy is nothing more than white skin. That's all it is. That's your Bible. That's not hatred. That don't give brownie points to black people. Or that don't put down white people. Or that don't make anybody in between whatever. I'm just talking about scriptures today, going into the scriptures, showing you how that the Most High had it within his wisdom to make his man of the brown dust of the earth. I tell people to do this every week. Let's do it now. Let's look outside of our window. If you're driving in a row, quickly look to the right or to the left. What do you see? Just look out there at your earth.
Look out any window. Don't care what window. What are you going to see? Brown and green. Brown and green. Everything come from that brown and green. Everything come from that brown and green. If it ain't brown and green, sin has some to do with it. I mean, it can be other colors, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying, everything started brown and green. The natural order, or what the Most High chose initially, was brown and green. Everything, when it dies, goes back to the brown. Everything goes back to the brown. There was no plan in the Most High's creation to have white skin. It came and as a result of sin. We're going to see it if you just have an open mind. Don't get pissed off. Listen, 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 because this is a love show. I say it all the time. We ain't hating on nobody here. We ain't hating on black folks. We ain't hating on white people. We ain't hating on Chinese, because we believe we're all one in five smooth songs. Brother Seth believes we're all one. As a matter of fact, every week I say this, and I'm going to say it again this week. I even believe that I am inside a white-skinned person. It's just I'm covered with earth, brown earth. But some of my brothers and sisters have lost bits and pieces of earth, and they are not brown. But the Adam, as we know it, and Eve, as we know it, come from the humus, or that's when you get the word humus. But humus is the type of dirt, the richest of all dirt, humus, where we get the word human again. And this is what the Most High chose to make this man out of. And remember, he said everything is to reproduce after its kind, so it's the same dirt that was out there back in Genesis. All right? So let's go back to Numbers 12 and 10, and let's look at, because they're going to describe, it's going to be described what exactly Miriam looked like. How about that? So, again, folks, Miriam is smitten with leprosy. Miriam is smitten with leprosy, and the Bible says that she became leprous as snow. Why did the Most High use that phrase again? Leprous as snow. Leprosy just means white. You can actually say to your wife or your husband, that's a leprous shirt you're going to be wearing there, and that means white. That's all it means, folks. See how we've changed things over the years? I'm telling you, we have been lied to. The truth is often stranger than fiction. But listen to what happens after she became leprous as snow. Verse 10 says, and the cloud departed from the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. Leprous. White as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Why didn't it say leprous as sores or leprous as, Anyway. And Aaron said unto Moses, here comes the description, he's about to describe her. Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly. Let her not be as one dead. Let her not be as one dead. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed. Of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Talk about a stillborn baby. Let her not be as a stillborn baby coming from his mother's womb, whose flesh is half consumed. No stillborn baby comes out of their mother's womb with their guts and flesh all ate up. So that could not be what he's talking about, half consumed, meaning half ate up with some disease. He's not talking about a disease baby. He's talking about someone that comes from his mother's womb, dead, stillborn babies. When I was doing this teaching in Columbus, Ohio, as I've said several times, a nurse interrupted me, because I allow people to interrupt me when I do teachings or when I'm preaching. And so she said, raise her hand. I went ahead and said, okay, what is your comment? She says, I'm a nurse by trade. I deliver babies. You are absolutely right. All stillborn babies have no pigmentation. No pigmentation.
Now, you can do your own research. It's going to kind of gross you out. But if you, how bad do you want to know truth? I did this. You might not want to do this, but I did this. I actually went to Google and Yahoo. I did an image search. Just didn't hit the word search. I clicked on images, and then I hit search after I typed in stillborn baby. Now, them little precious little babies make you kind of almost feel guilty for doing this research because they're so precious and cute and cuddly and all. And you feel bad about even doing it. Some of y'all probably just can't bear it, and I understand that. But I did it because of research sake. I wanted to know the truth. What was Aaron meaning by let my sister not be as a dead, stillborn baby? What did he mean by that? What did he mean by the thing called half consumed? Half consumed means just half colored, half filled out in color. When I said that in Columbus, the nurse interrupted me. If you do a search on stillborn babies, you will see what I'm talking about. You can look right through their skin. Or in other words, if you want to have a clear idea of what I'm saying, inside of your body, this is why I say I'm white, because inside of my body is white or no pigment. Under my eyelids is no pigment. Inside of my mouth is no pigment. Even the palms of my hand lack pigment. This is nothing more than Bible leprosy, to have lost your pigmentation. To be as leprous as snow meant this snow is nothing more than having lost pigment. There is nobody on the planet the color of white paper or the color of snow, like snow. The Bible says a lot of things that means it's using like typology. There is never been nobody on the planet the color of paper. Now, it's going to make a whole lot more sense when we finish reading 2 Kings 5 here, and then we'll get to some new stuff. So those of you that hear this every week, bear with me. Don't think you know everything. Keep listening, because I may hit something you ain't heard before, okay? So I warn you. I'm warning you. You've been warned, okay? Now watch this. Watch this, folks. 2 Kings 5, a man has leprosy. Whatever it is, okay? And he's warned by his servant that there is a man, a prophet in Israel, that can cure him of his leprosy. Let's just go ahead and read. I'm trying not to, for time's sake, but let's just go ahead and read bits and pieces of this. Because this is going to bring leprosy in 2011. It's going to actually show you people with leprosy in 2011. What I'm about to read, I promise you, it's going to do it. All right. Let's start at verse number one. Now, Naaman, captain of the host. Of the king of the Syria was a great man. And remember, he was a captain. He was a captain, folks. Remember, that's going to be key. Was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Well, wait a minute. He was a leper, and according to today's terminology of what lepers is, there's no way he could have been a man of valor, because lepers are very sick. And as Dr. Chetty told me, who I talked about in previous episodes, again, check out the archives on all those shows I talked about. We have archives for days. Dr. Chetty of the University of Cincinnati, Dermatology Department, said to me, I asked, could I record you, sir? He let me record it. Many of you have heard recorded before, especially those of you in Cincinnati. But he said, the leprosy that I treat, or as he would say it, I'll talk like him, the leprosy that I treat, it's not the same as the leprosy of the Bible. The leprosy I treat, you die. You don't live very long. I think he said over 30. You don't live past 30. So when you do Google and you type in the word leprosy and you see all them fingers all snubbed up and broken or broken looking and all the pus and sores, that is the leprosy that Dr. Chase teaches of the University of Cincinnati. Folks, I want y'all to stay with me. I'm about to show you how this people today is actually nothing more than lepers. I'm going to nail this down, and you're going to see how 2011 is related. It's actually going to have, it's actually going to show a dateline here. Watch this, folks. All right? So, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, like out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Recover him of his leprosy. He lost pigmentation. That's what I believe. And she said, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told him, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, watch this. Go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent name of my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now watch this, folks. I'm going to read that again. Well, let me read on. And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man doeth sin unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeth a quarrel against me. Okay, now watch verse 8. And it was so, even Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now watch this. Here come Naaman. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Thy flesh shall come again to thee? Thy flesh shall come again. He already had flesh. Folks, stay with me. I'm telling you, this ain't racism. Listen. Again, and Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash. Wash has nothing to do with sores. Oftentimes, in order for Israel to be clean, they would wash a lot. It was just symbolic. It didn't have nothing to do with soap and water and all that. Those of you who have been studying the Old Testament, you know when you see the word wash, it didn't necessarily mean that you was dirty, like dirt dirty. Like, for instance, here's a classic example. When Christ was being, when he was going to be crucified, and the king went and washed his hands, said, I'm, he basically saying, I'm out of this situation. That's all that meant. I'm distancing myself from it. And Elijah sent the prophet saying to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee. And thy flesh shall come again to thee. Now some of y'all might be thinking, yeah, Seth, it was sores, and he's just saying that his original flesh is going to come again. Is that right? No, I think it means his flesh, and you'll see that it means that his flesh just became one tone. That the part of his flesh that had the breaking. See, if you was all white, and I don't want to jump ahead. But we're going to read a little later on. When your body turns completely white, then you are cleansed. That's Leviticus 13 and 13, but we're going to read that, folks. Bear with me. When the body turns completely white, then you're declared clean. And again, that don't make any sense. Because if it's leprosy is sores, why in the world would you having sores all over your body now make you better off to where the Most High would say you're clean
once you have turned completely white. So a person with vitiligo back in biblical days, once they turn completely white, then they're accepted by society, Israel society. Then they were considered accepted or clean. How much sense did that make if leprosy was sores? Anyway, it says here that your flesh shall come again. So you'll find out a little later on in the reading that that's all that means is you're going to be, your white skin won't have patches of raw flesh where you can look right through it, like I said, like how the inside of a mouth looks and under the eyelids and so forth. And while I'm on that, I mentioned earlier about looking outside, folks. Look outside again and look for this color. Look for this discoloration, like I said, that's the color of the inside of a mouth, or that's the color of under the eyelid, or that's any. See, this color that I'm describing is a mutation. That's why you can't find it. If you look outside again, you won't find that color anywhere. Matter of fact, you won't find that color nowhere. Nowhere is the color of inside of your mouth. Nowhere is the color of inside of your body. It's a mutation. It's a mutation. Okay? So now when Naaman, okay, verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And recover. Don't take that word lightly. Recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, whatever that word is, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And when you say wash, y'all, I know most people think, well, you say, well, Brother Tessin says right there, he's going to wash and be clean. It ain't talking about soap and water. Clean just means accepted. Clean just means accepted. Y'all, if you've been following me, again, check the archives. When Israelites see a dead person, the Bible says they was unclean until the evening. They was unclean until the evening. It has absolutely nothing to do with soap and water. It just means accepted. Okay? That's all it means. Basically, it would read like this. May I not wash in them and be accepted? So, and wash again don't mean soap and water, folks. Okay? Again, Herod, I think it was. But he washed his hands from the situation with Christ. Why did he wash his hands when he's in the problem of crucifying Christ? He was one to distance himself. Or his way of saying, I see no father in this man. It was his way of accepting Christ. I'm distancing myself from the wicked. I don't see nothing with this man. He washed his hands. In other words, he's clean. Talking about Christ. All right, watch this. So he turned and went away in rage. Now, I'm not going to read all this, but basically what happens is, later on, he finally dips in the river. And I will read that. Let's look at verse number 14. Then when he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of the Most High, the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. See how the flesh coming again, making him clean? Telling you, I don't do it, Tokawana. But I want you to notice where it says, like that of a little child. And I want you all to check some out. A little child, all children, skin, is one tone. White or black, their skin is all one tone. That's one thing all kids got in common. You never see a little kid with this raw or this breaking of their tone where you can see this reddish whiteness, unless something wrong with them. But naturally, normally, most children don't have this discoloration or this, okay, this reddish whiteness that we'll read about a little bit. Stay with me. It's going to make a lot more sense. Okay?
So anyway, he's got healed, and later on, Gehazi comes on the scene, which is the servant of the prophet Elijah, and so Gehazi is wanting to get paid for this, for Naaman getting healed. Naaman offers to pay Elijah, and Elijah says no, basically thanks the Most High. So Gehazi follows Elijah and says, I'm speeding this up, and says, you know, basically you can give me a reward. He got a reward for Naaman getting healed. When Gehazi returned back to his vault, Elisha, watch what happened. I told you I was going to bring this into 2011. You're going to see it with your own eyes. Verse 26. Actually, go up to verse 25. But he went in and stood before his master, talking about Gehazi, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither, or nowhere. Verse 26. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, I'll read that again. He said, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Asking him a question. Is it a time to receive money? He knew this by the Spirit. And to receive garments and olive yard, vineyard, sheep and oxen, men servant, maid servant? This is what Gehazi had Naaman to pay him for him being healed. Watch what happened. Verse 27. The leprosy thereof of Naaman, whatever it was, folks, there was different types of leprosy, shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. Forever. Is 2011 included in forever? Of course it is. And he went out of his presence a leper as white as snow. Now Gehazi seed, if anybody was cursed back thousands of years ago and they had children, their children had children, their children had children, and their children had children, and their children had children, then their children had children, and their children had children, how many of them would it be? And how many people would curse like this? Where did Naaman get healed from in the first place? How many people were smitten with leprosy by the Most High, or it looks like, or even by the prophet? I'm trying to share with y'all something. People were smitten to be albinos in the Bible days. I know that sounds crazy, but as I read more, you will see there is nothing else it could be. And look today. Nothing else, let's look at today. Let's just say Brother Seth is smoking on something. Let's look at this. Remember I told you I was going to share some things that are going to be roots. What a root is on F5 Smooth Stone, what we call a root, is something that we can see and we all unanimously agree. Yeah, Brother said, and I agree with that. Like something like the sky is blue, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We all agree. A root is something we all can agree on. But the truth of that root make what I'm saying a little more believable. Here goes the root. I've said to you, civilization started with brown people. I said to you that the Most High chose brown. Ain't no need in hating on it. It's just facts, folks. And he said that he made his brown man, it is good. Why do the world have problems with saying those three words? It is good. It is beautiful. how about this? It's the best. Again, not something for black folks to go dogging out other people or for white people to lay their head down because they feel, you know, like they lacking something. It's just science, people. Everything comes from that brown dirt. Again, this is a love show. When we get done, everybody's going to be encouraged if you just stay with me. In the end, I'm going to show how we all are truly one people, one human family. Doctors say if you need a lung or kidney, oftentimes a white person's lung and kidney is better than your black brother and sister. But what am I saying? I'm saying to you, folks, we've been lied to. We are not as different as you think. So, white, I'm going to warn you. It's going to be a little hard for you to take what I'm saying because you have been the benefit of white supremacy. And it's going to be like I'm taking from you. And I'm only taking from you the amount of distance you are in the air more than you should be. I'm only taking from you what has been falsely given to you. Again, we are one. So, here comes the roots. Dark-skinned people, chocolate people, dark-skinned people, humus, that thick, rich dirt, almost blue-black dirt, can produce lily white, whiter than white, blonde hair, blue eyes. Now, folks, we know that, right? Why is that? And why do black people produce millions of albinos and vitiligo? Now, white people can, too. So, well, this kills your argument because white people can, too. White people can because white people, as we know them, are mixed with dark skin, are melanin, are humans, are earth. And this is where they get the different colors of hair. Again, we're the same people, folks. The only reason why a lot of your hair is black is because, or your eyes is brown, is because you have more melanin. So, yes, white people can have albinos because they have a small amount of melanin. Whatever melanin is, after so often, it produces this no pigmentation. And it's in the plants. Animals can produce albinos. There is a white everything on this planet. There is a white elephant. There is a white lion somewhere. Now, this is what you really have a good time. Please don't do it now. I'm trying to have y'all's undivided attention, if you don't mind. But if you was to run a search on Google on white tigers, you'll see one. White everything, anything on this planet that has life, eventually loses pigmentation because of the state of our planet, this sin-fallen state. So the original choice for the Most High was earth tone brown. Okay? And by the way, if you lack hair, that's not his original purpose either. I'm going to say it again. If you lack hair, if you're too tall to where your joints hurt you, like 7 feet, you know, that came as a result of a sin as well. One day we'll talk about that. I told you this subject can never be ended. I probably will never end leprosy. I got tired of talking about this, but I got to think about all the boxes that I have out in the garage and stuff. I ain't even open up to even talk to y'all about stuff. Basically, I've been teaching really all five of these songs. I don't really have time to study none of this. This is all straight from the head. I go through the Bible, kind of brush it up. But I promise you there's a whole lot more coming as things get more settled in my own personal life. This is just stuff I've known for years and with cobwebs on my head. That's not to put myself higher up than I'm just saying this is not even with me going into some other things. There's so much more to this albino, leprosy, vitiligo, melanin, third eye, bones, freckles, hair follicles. I go there deep, deep, deep. So please. please forgive me, but right now we're just going to cover 101, and then we're going to go into deeper and deeper. I promise you, when we get done, we will see, my goodness, we really are truly one human family. I mean, really, really. And we'll see that it's not just white skin, because right now I'm on the white skin, and I'm sure a lot of white brothers, this might feel a little funny, but you'll see that it's the same as losing the hair. It's not the Most High design. Adam was his design. But when sin came into the picture, and Eve, when sin came in the picture, we began to start losing. We didn't live anymore thousands of years or a thousand years. No, we lived anymore forever. That's what we originally started out with. Science backs up everything I'm saying. Science say that we lose skin. We got the same brain into the skin every year. Our organs, everything changes. After about 5 years, okay, we get everything new. Or it's trying to do it anyway. So, folks, this gets deep, deep, deep. Brother Seth is not no doctor. So if I'm sharing things and it's in the Bible, anybody can do this if you just seek the Most High and ask him to reveal it, okay? Again, you need not that I teach you nothing. You got the Holy Spirit. So anyway, so let's go ahead and, again, think about what we just read in Leviticus. About their roots. So the root was the black-skinned people. Let's flip over to Leviticus 13 while I say this. But the dark-skinned people producing these albinos. Again, whites have albinos too, but not as much. Because white people are closer to the albino state. But they don't produce as much. They don't have more melanin than so-called black people. That's why in Tanzania has more albinos and people with vitiligo anywhere in the whole planet. I'm telling you, so-called dark-skinned people are so-called dark skin, not necessarily the people, is the Most High choice for his man. Okay? What are we doing today? What's the stuff to do with salvation? We're dismantling white supremacy. We cut it down by the legs. When we get done, anybody that's dust colored is going to feel like, oh my goodness, how did I ever doubt? Anybody that's doubting, looking at their hair and getting upset because it's kinky and it's thick and it's acting rebellious, the hair is supposed to be strong like that. It ain't supposed to just lay down and act like it don't have no life. It's actually more natural. It's thicker. It's stronger. All color hair is in the color black. You can pull all colors out of black. Let me show you what I'm talking about. A person has black hair, they have an albino. The albino has the white hair. You can take the mixing of their seeds, you know, back in the days, and used to sleep with their brothers and sisters, and it wasn't wrong. But I'm just saying, when you mix that white hair with that black hair, you get gray, and then gray mixed with black, you get this, and then you can get every color from black. So is it with black pupils. All color eyes come from black eyes. Black eyes are rare. Rare. But those are the mama and daddies of all pupils, black people. Everything comes from black people. Blue eyes, brown eyes, everything. I would oftentimes go and talk to doctors whenever I hear something. I remember this one doctor, because I want to make sure I was right. When I first started hearing this, I was like, man, this is crazy. I can't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I just said, I'll believe it. And the Most High sent two different people to share this with me, and I rejected them. I kept saying, that's crazy. Oh, that's racism. Don't want no part of it. But when I began to study, I went, oh, my goodness. This is true. This is right. So, folks, anyway, let's move on. We got other scriptures to cover. Let's go to Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13, please. Now, Leviticus 13. I think we started at verse 3. And the priest shall look on. Let's see how we're doing with the time. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. We probably won't be looking at Dr. Pookham today. Well, I'm going to make this a little fast because basically, I want to read down to verse 13, where it talks about how the whole body turned white. And then we're going to finish out with Dr. Pookum. And y'all got to hear this video, I mean, this audio, please. You got to hear it, okay? But anyway, I'm going to read this. So pay close attention, because we're going to read a little fast. And the priest, verse 3, Leviticus 13:3. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, we're looking at a spot, y'all, when the hair is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Again, if there's a white spot on a person's body, and there's a white hair in the middle, anywhere inside the spot, okay, he is a leper. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Now, I don't do with washing. I told you I was going to lay it out. It had nothing to do with clean and dirty water. It just means he's unaccepted. And if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and his sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up and have the plague 7 days. Okay, watch this. Again, we're talking about the bright spot in the skin, and it be in sight not deeper than the skin, the hair thereof be not turned white, going to lock this person up. 7 days. Now, if that's been thousands of years ago, it'd take a whole lot longer than that in 7 days for this to happen. And the priest shall look on him the 7th day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, if it don't spread, then the priest shall shut him up 7 more days. Watch this. And the priest shall look on him again the 7th day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. Again, we hear a lot about washing and the word clean. I just showed y'all how clean it had nothing to do with soap and water. And here, if they use the word wash and clean, it makes you again say, Brother Seth, come on now, that's talking about, no, it's not. Because it's going to, you're going to see other time they're going to wash, and they're going to have nothing to do with no, nothing. It's just going to have nothing to do with no skin. There's been times when they wash their hand and it had nothing to do with, again, skin. Okay, watch this. Here we go. This is verse number 7. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. Y'all get that? And this is what I want you to check out. I want y'all to listen. 9 to verse 13, it's amazing truth here. When the plague of leprosy, and this is a whole other type, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. Priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it hath turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising. Quick raw flesh is nothing more than white, whitish, reddish whiteness. We'll talk about that a little later on. And another thing for homework, if I'm allowed to give that to you, please read Leviticus 13. Yes, it may be a little bit, you know, you may have to read. I know when I first read it, and I saw verse 6, when it said, when the skin becomes somewhat dark, that verse 6, we just read it. But when I saw the word somewhat dark, I was done. I need to read no more. See, if you let the Holy Spirit, and I'm not who's going to read this, but y'all listening, I'm very serious. If you let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you, I'm telling you, something's just going to open up to you. You won't need a whole lot of verses. You won't need them. You still should read them, but it'll just be agreeing to what you already know. When I read that somewhat dark in verse 6 was the criteria or the standard for being clean, I was done. Because all my life, somewhat dark has been associated with the curse. All right, verse 10. Watch this. Here it comes. And the priest shall see him, and behold, his eyes will be white in the skin, and it hath turned the hair white, and there will be quick walk flesh in the rising. It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. Now, here is the main verse of this whole entire Bible study. Verse 12. And if the leprosy breaks out abroad in the skin, whatever it is, the breakout in the skin, it's in the skin. And the leprosy cover all the skin of him that had the plague from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh. And the priest looked everywhere. Why, here you go, come the bomb. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy had covered all of his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. That had the plague. This is not a sickness, this is not a disease. Multiplied it, I said that 15 times. I don't want to say it 15 times for time's sake. It's not a plague, it's not a disease. Ain't no diseasing. It's just a plague. It wasn't terminal, it wasn't contagious. See, somebody was cursed with this. Anyway, let me finish reading. It is all turned white. He is clean. It is all turned white. He is clean. So if leprosy was sores, why would you having sores every single place on your body make you not acceptable? That's crazy. Somebody said, well, why did Moses put them out? Why would they put outside of the camp when they had it? Because, you know, it goes on to say later on, if you read with Reed, those of you who've been reading this with me every week, it goes on to say that you have to put them away. They're supposed to be away from the rest of Israel. They couldn't be priests. Lots of things they couldn't do as lepers. And one of the reasons why was that somebody was associated with sin in his family. It's like Gehazi was associated with him. Even though thousands of years later, his descendants are still around, and say, well, why would they still have this? The Most High do what he wants to do, first of all. But it signifies that somebody failed the Most High to the degree that they was cursed. One thing, just do something wrong, but when Elijah cursed Gehazi, prophets don't do it today because they're so weak. But actually, probably one could be cursed with albinism. I'm sorry, folks. It's just the Bible. Quickly, let's read verse 18, then we'll just listen to Pilgrim. The flesh also, in which even the skin thereof was a boil, and is healed. Talking about a boil. We're going to talk about you hear lots of words like boil, rising, scale, bright spot. All of these, boil, rising, scale. Leprosy is not those. It would use those words. Leprosy or whiteness come out of those. But it didn't just come out of a boil or out of a scab or out of a rising. Sometimes it appeared like on Gehazi's descendants, with nothing associated with it. Sometimes white skin just came like albinism comes. Person is born that way. It don't have nothing to do with no scalp, right, you know, rising. Okay, so just know that. So watch this. They mentioned reddish white. And the plague of the boil, and in the place of the boil, okay, let's read this thought over, verse 18. And the flesh also, in which even in the skin, let me start, I'm moving a little too fast. The flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil and is healed. And in place, here we go, and in place of the boil, there be a white rising, or a bright spot, a white or bright, a white or bright in place of the boil. Remember, the boil is not leprosy, folks. That's what they're teaching these churches. And in place of the boil, there'll be a white rising or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, a white spot and somewhat reddish. Remember earlier I was talking about raw flesh means whitish, reddish white, or I mentioned opening your mouth and that look, or looking at your hands even. That's what we're talking about. White, somewhat reddish, not reddish. And it be showed to the priest, and if when the priest see it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, and the hair of be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him, what do y'all get? Unclean, you got it, because it's a white hair. Wild white hair, don't know. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil, not the boil. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if there be no, and it be no, not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark. Remember that somewhat dark in. You want to be somewhat dark, folks. I'm telling you, you want to be somewhat dark in these days. But what do you think the Messiah was? Again, it's not, I don't laugh at that in a taunting way. Again, I'm just talking about science and Bible here. Priest shall shut him up 7 days, and if it spread much abroad in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is a plague. And if the bright spot stay in this place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Folks, let's listen to somebody talk about the extreme opposite. The extreme opposite. Okay, you've heard about leprosy. You've heard about leprosy. What I want to do is let you hear about another side. Again, this is Dr. Jewel J.E.W.E.L. Hukrum, okay, and she's talking about melanin, all right? I want y'all to check this out, have an open mind, please listen, and you will be amazed. That's all I can say to you. I warned you. I did warn you, okay? So let's go ahead and listen to this fine lady. This is a doctor. She is one of the foremost authorities on leprosy. And I'm kind of stalling this, and I'm trying to chew this up. I know time is short, but we'll get this in, okay? Check this out, Dr. Jewel Hukrum on Maryland. I'm telling today. She's been interviewed by someone else.
Miles, what's the duration of time?
A second.
So electric power moves 3,100 miles a second, and we have radio that moves 100 feet a second.
Yes.
And television, which is between a foot a second and...
Half a foot, maybe.
Well, no, it's 0.01.
0.01 foot.
Into the very short frequencies, such as microwave, infrared... And then we finally go into the visual spectrum, which now has moved into nanometers. Okay, it's so small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so we're talking about...
Now, they actually jumped in this pretty deep. So probably I should, out of respect for those who've never heard before. I'm going to actually play part one. We should have enough time. Remember, when it's cut off, folks, if you can call, if you're going to keep listening, call 760-283-0838, the number on the internet there, and you can keep listening. It's going to cut y'all off on the internet, but I'm going to keep letting this play. We're going to play at least two videos of her, and the videos are like 10 minutes. So, again, it's going to shut off in exactly 15 minutes for those of you that's on the internet. If you want to keep listening, you have to call 760-283-0838. It'll also be archived, okay, after the show. So check this out. I'm going to play part one because it's just not fair to jump into this. So, D, let's play part one. And I want y'all to listen to Dr. Jewel Pookhorn.
Let's go ahead and jump in to our topic for this evening. We have quite the astounding show planned for you. You know how we harp on good health, especially for black people. Well, what is the element that makes black people black? Is it called melanin? Do we know what melanin is? Do we know how to take care of our melanated selves? Well, on the phone line from the Atlanta area.
Decatur, Georgia.
Decatur, Atlanta, all the same, you know. But we have an MD, a leader of knowledge. She's an obstetrician, a director of gynecology and obstetrics. Help me out here. Help a brother out. You know, I have...
Obstetrics.
I can't get it.
She catches babies.
Okay, very good.
How's that?
How about if I just go ahead and welcome Dr. Jewel Pookhorn to the airways, the author of Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z. Dr. Jewel Pookhorn, welcome to Black Talk Radio.
Oh, greetings, and thank you. I'm very happy to be a part of that.
Thank you.
I do want to just kind of bring you up to date.
Mm-hmm.
I was trained as a surgeon and a gynecologist. I do obstetrics rarely and usually for special people. But primarily my forte now is tissue regeneration. And that's one of the main reasons why I got into melanin, because in my surgical practice, surgeons really don't like to operate on black people per se as far as skin goes, because our skin really is persona non grata. It's like, you know, untouchable because of the fear of a keloid. And a surgeon's reputation is always based on, if the outside looks bad, it doesn't matter how well you did on the inside, they're not usually going to come back to you.
Oh.
And so keloid formation has really been a surgeon's nightmare when it comes to operating on black people. So therefore, my forte was to be the best surgeon I could possibly be, and so I had to recognize that we had a different skin texture. Obviously, we have a different skin color than Caucasians, even though all my textbooks primarily pictured Caucasians. The race of people that I chose to work with was also melanin dominant, which means that they had pigment, black skin, and we didn't have a lot of information ever in those textbooks about how to handle it. So I had to really learn that and learn how to deal with the scar not becoming jet black, because many times, and people can testify to that, if they traumatize their body, the area becomes extremely darkened. And it may not ever lighten up if they happen to be brown, as opposed to a very black person that, you know, obviously they don't have those drastic changes in color, but the texture changes. So, therefore, this is what brought me into the realization of recognizing that I had to learn to do something different. So
now that the fax has gone through, I'm curious, Dr. Pookhorn, if you came to the conclusion after seeing that scarification going on with melanated skin, if indeed that might be some kind of signal that perhaps melanated people shouldn't be operated on?
Well, no. Well, the answer to that is yes and no. Okay? It's like I ideally do not like people to have surgery, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the body is sacred. We can see that, and it shouldn't be entered into. How do we know that? Because we don't have any way of getting into it.
There are no zippers.
Right, exactly. So that means that everything has been put so well into place and has been given a permanent means of functioning, cleaning itself, nurturing itself, nourishing itself, that there's no need for you to worry about it and handle it. That's what's so awesome about the body. So therefore, that means that when a person's body has to be entered into, something has definitely gone awry that has interrupted the normal programming of those tissues. So once that has happened, whether the person used bad judgment and wound up being in an auto accident, or a building fell on them because in their bad judgment they basically were in the right place at the wrong time, et cetera, now we have to work with bringing the body back to its natural position of being closed. And in the process of working with those kind of situations, we had to look at what does this melanin do. Now, many of my textbooks, they don't have much on it, but now over time, and especially because so many other black scientists have recognized for many reasons, from many different directions, that this pigment is awesome. All of the colors that we can see with the visual eye are related to melanin. It's very important to understand. So that chlorophyll is the first cousin to melanin.
Yes, our line.
Okay.
What is basically, what is melanin?
Melanin is very interesting. Now, let's just look at this from a very basic level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is a pigment. It ranges in color from pale yellow to reddish brown to blue black. It is in, as far as the body goes, every major organ of the body, and it has many, many different functions. Now, from a technological perspective, what melanin is, it is biological living light.
Living light.
That's correct. Okay, so that means then that we have now a light source interacting and reacting upon itself.
How did you come to the conclusion that that was living light, biological living light?
Well, when
light?
You look at the properties of what it does, it is black melanin. Melanin that is blue-black actually contains and is able to energize itself and to hold on to the entire frequency of the electromagnetic spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum is nothing more than light. It consists, however, of the visual spectrum, which makes the rainbow of colors. It consists of cosmic waves, radio waves, laser, short wave radio, long wave radio, TV, ultrasound. All of these are part of the light spectrum. Melanin, pure black melanin, interacts with all of that by absorbing it and holding it into itself. So if melanin is put on the surface of something, all of those frequencies of light can be absorbed, and guess what? The heat is dissipated from them without destroying whatever lays underneath it. NASA, for example, uses a synthetic form of melanin to coat the entire undersurface of all of the space shuttles. All of the wiring in these highly technological vehicles are covered with melanin so that the heat that is generated from these objects being hurled into space into the atmosphere through the ionosphere can tolerate the heat and come out on the other side into outer space without exploding.
So black spaceships.
Why? Because the melanin absorbs the heat and dissipates it instead of actually allowing it to become a friction interaction where eventually combustion takes place. It prevents combustion. That is why we are able to be at the center of the Earth, at the equator, in pure, intense sun, the temperature 110 degrees, and our skin will not blister, and our skin will basically not burn because of melanin.
So melanin, you would say, is like the depth of the universe.
Exactly. It is the universe in a microcosm when it is in your body, and it is a macrocosm when you look into outer space. And when you look into a black hole, exactly,
is
you're looking at biological living light.
You said there's, living light. Mm-hmm. Now, is there such a thing as dead light?
Well, there's such a thing as matter being inert, that is, being a void of what appears to be interacting actively that at least we can measure with light. For example, a piece of plastic. A piece of plastic can actually have a be created at a frequency where it can exhibit the color red. But does it have a metabolic exchange rate? Not one that you can detect. Does it eliminate waste? Not anything that you can detect. Does it actually absorb energy as though it is consuming it like a food source or an energy source? Not anything that you can detect. And so we call something like that inert because it does not appear to carry on an active metabolic process where it appears to have a identifiable interaction with the
folks, I don't know about y'all, but every time I hear this, I get something out of it. I mean, it's just hard to believe. It's like, oh, that ain't no Melon. She's just lying. I mean, you just have a tendency to just want to just blow her off as some new age. But that's how brainwashed we are. And I can imagine if I was a white person, I felt like it was my job to preserve the white race. As a lot of whites feel, some of y'all black people feel the same way. You love your skin. Then you wouldn't want to put this out at all. Folks, I'm telling y'all, we have been brainwashed. I want to play another version of that. A little more without the interviewer. So this is just going to be straight up facts here talking. Here we go.
So when we can see different colors, that means that particular frequency of wavelength of quantum particles vibrating at the speed of light is what we are seeing. Melanin is this quality. And so we know for a fact that those individuals who are hardwired with navy blue black melanin definitely have the capability of interacting with all forms of identifiable light, and it's embedded in their tissues. And the individuals who are still hardwired, but the amount that circuitry can transmit is still relative to.
Let me just actually pause just because we're about to lose those that are listening on the internet. So I just want to just first say goodbye to you, and then, again, those of you that want to keep listening, you can call the phone number right there on the internet, the 760 number, and you can keep listening. We'll just let Dr. Pukum at least play a couple more. They're only like 60, I guess about 5-10 minutes each, between 5 and 10 minutes. We'll play a couple more, and then we'll end the show. So just stay with me. I just want to hit Melanin just a little bit longer. But, again, all this will be in the archives. But I want y'all to hear it today because otherwise if you put it off, you may forget. Okay, just a couple more, and then we'll end the show. And I'm going to end it with a certain song, so you don't want to miss that. So, again, keep listening. Just call the show at this time, 760-283-0838.
The amount of melanin pigments that they have, which can be increased at will. This is very, very important. This show is dedicated to advancing the awareness of understand that the conditions that their physicality, their body may be in at any particular moment in time, can be changed and transformed relative to what the individual desires and what the environment demands. And we know that. For example, an individual goes out in the sun, the body demands more melanin to be able to capture the light. It helps to increase circulation. It helps to basically stabilize and allow the precipitation and the organization of minerals in the body. It also causes our mitochondria to be able to store more energy, the mitochondria, and that's a little cute battery. That's the name of the little batteries that are in every cell of the body to be able to store more free energy. So the key is that sunlight will stimulate all these different phenomena in the body to become more active, and to the extent that the individual in their consciousness has allowed the body to perform, the body does its best. When it appears as though there's a limitation that occurs, individuals say that, oh, I can't tan, you know, I turn like a lobster or my skin burns. The limitation is only in the body because the individual has accepted the limitation as opposed to allowing the body and demanding that the body change its state. This is totally possible and it is going to become necessary. structures and phenomena to support a characteristic that we do not really desire. So, you know, I was involved at one in my career in looking at the plans of cities and the projections that they had created for themselves. And many of the cities have projected themselves to be domes so that they can control the weather themselves and be able to dictate how much UVB, ultraviolet, blue frequency wavelengths, and the type of wavelengths that can come through the dome. And this was done for many reasons, but of course it was alleged that this is going to allow us to remain healthy and not have many of the diseases that we are afflicted with, allegedly, because we cannot control our environment. That is not a true statement. We have always been able to control the environment. The problem has been we did not recognize the dials that are built in within our physical body that synchronize and dictate what the weather will be. And one of the main quote dials, I'm just saying, just for you to grasp what I'm saying, is the modulation of frequencies from the brain. It is known that the emanations, the modulations of frequencies from the brain can be totally disturbing and devastating to an environment, as well as being totally soothing, reconstructive, and transforming to an environment. And most of us intuit that. We know that we can go into a room and a person can be in there and we just are like, wow, you know, these vibrations here are extremely uncomfortable. I think of hostility, I think of anger, deep sadness, etc., and nothing is ever said. Because the brain is a transmitter and a receiver. And when you have large groups of people that are transmitting perception on a very intense basis, they can change the weather over themselves in a matter of minutes. Yes, we can. This is the kind of power we have. The physical body is an ultimate machine. It is an ultimate creation that has so many capabilities. We are still like little children struggling to understand. But in our inability to understand, we have created great upheaval on this planet. And there's only a couple of solutions. So the movie, The Day the Planet Stood Still, their solution was get rid of the humans. That is one of the quickest solutions to all the upheaval that's happening on the planet, because this planet has a relationship with other planets and other solar systems. Now, of course, I'm not for that choice, and I'm sure neither are you. But now that means then that if you know that you can look around and see what the humans have done, paper, trash, total negligence of the ley lines and the organization of mass on Earth in relationship to bodies of water, mountains, locations of minerals that have totally been ignored for economic reasons, which have been done by humans, now we can begin to see how much damage we've done to the planet. And obviously, the question is, will we learn so that we can stop, or are we still very much promoted and motivated to continue, irregardless of what we see?
I don't know about y'all, but that just... Any questions before I make my comments? I noticed we got the phone lines lit up here. Anybody have a question, raise your hand before I start this next video. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and start the next audio of her. But, again, this lady is no joke. So I'm actually listening. This is called the Melanology Show, the Melanology Show. You can believe that, the Melanology Show. So there is a such show. So, again, there's the World Melanin Conference. It goes on every single year. It's very expensive. I have to tell y'all that because it really is. Get your feelings hurt. I remember about over 20 years ago, the cost was, I know, like $600. This is just for the class. They have a lot of highly sought-after speakers, and I guess they have to meet budget with them. But anyway... here is another one. This may actually, you might have just heard, actually, I'm trying to think how we're going to do this. Let's go ahead and play this one. Just want y'all to just kind of hear of some of the glories of melanin so you can understand why you probably never heard any of them, because the power that be they just can't afford it. It's just embarrassing. It's actually embarrassing. That's the word I was looking for. The feeling, I should say, the feeling I felt. I felt sometimes you feel embarrassed. Sometimes when I listen to this stuff, I just feel embarrassed for people that may not have much money. I'm wondering, because that's just me, y'all. You got to understand how I was raised. We are always raised to be considerate of other people. And I'm always concerned about how this family is with our brother, too, because I don't want to be divisive. I don't want to be somewhere, and I'm not no Uncle Tom, nothing like that. I just believe that there is a way everybody can benefit. And if you can't show everybody how they're going to benefit, don't blame them for fighting it and for coming against it. I mean, because that's just human nature. It's just that simple. So this is actually part one. We just listened to part two, so that's my bad how I did that.
So when we can see different
but anyway,
colors,
it's still
that
interesting. It's still be interesting. But here goes part one to the melanology show.
It's a whole hour and a half to every week, known as melanin, is a critical factor because it allows you to directly interact and mediate with all known frequencies of magneto, electric, light spectrum. And for those of you who are astute, you recognize that I have first the connotation that it is electric, magnetic. The dominance here is magnetic. So this is a magneto-electric light spectrum that we're dealing with in this frequency. Not electromagnetic. It's really reversed. It's important that we have to understand that. It has been our misunderstanding and constantly supported the electric aspect of our energy capability that has been so disturbing to this planet. The only reason why we exist is because of the predominant magnetic field. It is the magnetic capability in space that allows the quantum particles to adhere to one another once they actually are stopped in space by coming in contact with consciousness. Quantum particles are stopped in their motion. They're perpetually in motion, but they stop when they come into contact with a conscious field, a thought field. And when that thought field emanates a particular formation, a geometric formation, these particles will actually stop. And as they continuously collide into one another because they have stopped in this field of consciousness, they adhere. And this adherence is a magnetic phenomenon, which causes them to come together. They grow and they grow and they grow and voila. What you have is known as matter or mass. Now, these particles, they commit to this phenomenon in every frequency of light that we know of. So the collapsing of matter in what is known as the Hertzian frequency or our radio frequency or the frequency that causes us to be dense as we are is, for the most part, how we understand reality to be. But there is the condensation and the collapsing of quantum particles in infrared, in visual light spectrum, in the ultraviolet blue spectrum, and obviously there is complete reality there. We have been hardwired to be able to access and interact with the reality, the quantum particles that are collapsing in each of those frequencies. And that hardwiring system is known as the microtubule or carpal system that makes literally a skeletal-like system in every cell in your body. Now, obviously, the more melanin you have, because it will be revealed to you, for those who are not aware, and for the scientists who know this already, pigment that exists in living organisms. As a matter of fact, all pigments are the physical manifestation of light. So most of us just think that light is something that perhaps just comes out of the sky or through a light bulb or LED emitting apparatus, the TV set, or whatever. It does have a physical form, a condensed physical form known as melanin. Now, whether that is of the chlorophyll nature or lycopene, because all of these different pigments, as they have a dense physical body, still exhibit the frequencies of light appears as though there's no light. Why? Because they are actually absorbed into themselves. So there's nothing that is actually emitted that our retinas, our eyes can see. So it appears to be black. So blackness is full of light, that the light is basically held into itself. It's not being emitted. So when we can see different colors, that means that that particular frequency of wavelength of quantum.
We have to pause there for a second. We have a question, and while we're playing this video, and I know y'all want to hear, we'll continue playing it, but I just want to know what the question is, if you don't mind. So just let's open up the phone line, and we have a question for the area code 215. Go right ahead.
Yes, hello. If this is the truth, why isn't this more common to the black people? I mean, you got black colleges out here, and they're not teaching this. Or is this just another hidden factor that the Illuminati or just trying to keep from us? That's my question.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, ma'am, and I know a lot of people trivialize the Illuminati and just say it's fictitious, but we know that by just simply just using common sense and looking at it, somebody as simple as Barack Obama, president, how there is powers that be that is just toying with this man like he is nothing. We know that there is a power out there, and so you're right. Some people call it Illuminati, some people call it the powers that be, but there are powerful people pulling strings. And this information, ma'am, cannot be put out there. It will just simply cause, I think the powers that be know that there will be more Dr. Jewel Pookums popping up. Because once people start seeing there really is something to this melanin, they might decide to go be a doctor and study for the rest of their life. Like I said, the World Melanin Conference goes on. I think they still have it. I know about 20 years ago I tried to go and it was very expensive. But this is the kind of information, ma'am, I do think you're right that they're trying to hold back so we won't know. I mean, it's just every time I hear this video or this audio, it just blows me away. It's actually a video. It blows me away how much information, like you said, we don't hear. We should hear
right.
It sometimes. But scientists know this. They know it. And these are the people that know exactly, I believe, who we are. But I don't want to say we like us black people because that separates us from white people because white people, too, have melanin. They just don't have as much. They don't have as much. And I think that may be actually another problem, too, because I think, you know, people want to feel like they're in control. And if they don't have a lot of something that's natural, it's almost like one guy who worked in a spa. He owned a spa, and he talked about black babies versus white babies. And he was talking about how strong they were and the eye strength and the how, you know, the wearing of glasses. I mean, everybody wear glasses. A lot of people wear glasses. They talk about the eyes, the blue eyes versus the darker people, the pupil eyes. And it just, if I was a white person, I wouldn't want to talk about it and push it either. I mean, if I was really pro-white, really into my so-called culture, I wouldn't want, would you want to hear, like, if the bell curve was right, which is full of lies, you've heard of the bell curve, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if the bell curve was right, would you want to be pushing that on your radio show?
No.
Okay. Would you want me reading books about that? No. So I think it's kind of natural for some whites to not want to put this out there. But then it's actually, like you said, it's just the powers that be trying to keep us ignorant, feeling like this blackness is cursed, and that's why I do this blog on leprosy, to show exactly what is white skin, and then we invite, we bring on these audios and videotapes of Dr. Pookum talking about the wonders of the extreme opposite, melanin, pigmentation versus non-pigmentation, and letting people see exactly what's going on. But I appreciate your comment. Did you have another comment or something?
No, why more black people are not aware of this too?
Yeah, and you know what? I think that even if in black institutions, you got to understand unless you are a Harvard, MIT,
Yale, someplace where you know you're not going to have to worry about your financial backings. Those institutions are good, and they don't have to worry about funding, so they have a tendency to tell the truth more. I think all colleges told the truth. That's not true. The colleges that are established, that have strong alumni presence and people that's just that everybody knows who they are, what they are, they are more apt to tell the truth. But when you got these smaller universities, especially black colleges, they can lose funding in a second. So they're more they're concerned about being closed down. And you start talking about this kind of stuff and why you start getting upset, you can get in a lot of trouble, and the people in the government can make it very hard for you. So that's why they kind of stay middle of the road. Now, they do invite in speakers and put out those disclaimers, but you can get in trouble even for bringing on Dr. Jewel Pookrum, Ivan Van Sertiman, Dr. Ben Yakanon, a lot of these people. So that's why you don't hear this as often.
Okay, thank you very much, and your show is very informative.
Well, thank you. What is your name again?
Jeannie Jackson.
Okay, well, listen, it's good hearing from you as well. It's very important. That's why I stopped the video just for you. So we're going to go ahead and do the rest of it. We may listen to one more. I don't really want to hold people past 1:30 Eastern Central Standard anyway, Central Standard Time. So we'll just do it for no more than another 10 minutes, something like that, okay?
Okay.
Anybody else with questions, feel free to go ahead and do as Ms. Jackson, and voice your question, all right? But you're welcome, Ms. Jackson.
The particle vibrating at the speed of light is not being emitted. So when we can see different colors, that means that particular frequency of wavelength of quantum particles vibrating at the speed of light is what we are seeing. Melanin is this quality. And so we know for a fact that those individuals who are hardwired with navy blue black melanin definitely have the capability to interact with all forms of identifiable light. It is embedded in their tissue. And the individuals who are melanin receptive are still hardwired, but the amount that circuitry can transmit is still relative to the amount of melanin pigments that they have, which can be increased at will. This is very, very important. This show is dedicated to advancing the awareness of humanity to understand that the conditions that their physicality, their body may be in at any particular moment in time can be changed and transformed relative to what the individual desires and what the environment demands.
Tell you what. I tell you what, that is something. This woman, every time I listen, I mean, I'm playing it for y'all because I want y'all to, you know, get in on the blessing. But every time I hear, I'm like, dang, wow, dang, wow. So let's listen to another one. Let's see which one. There's so many here that I can pick from. And what I'm doing, just so y'all know, because you can do this after I'm gone. Again, you can do this after I'm gone, and that is go to YouTube and simply type in Jewel, J-E-W-E-L, and then Pookrum, P-O-O-K-R-U-M, all right? That's all Brother Seth is doing, nothing to it, okay? I'm playing it straight from YouTube and letting y'all hear it. So, trying to find what I just have here. But if anybody has any other questions, feel free to ask. Again, what we're doing, the reason why we're doing this, because some people are saying, well, why are we doing this? Why are we even listening to Dr. Pookrum? Because in understanding melanin and all that it offers, all that it enables, you can't help but to understand if you don't have this or if you lack this, obviously, just in that particular area, you like something pretty important. And it don't make you better off. It's almost like if somebody don't have allergies and someone do have allergies. It don't make you better off. You just, you know, so what? You don't have allergies. That's all it is. Like someone that's a little taller than the next person and someone is really short. It don't make you better a person. It's just talking about strictly science. And as she talked about I think it's the one we want to play right here. Yeah, let me go ahead and play this for time's sake, and we'll finish up what I was saying earlier if we get around to it. Okay? So check it out. This is Dr. Pookrum again. Well, hold on a second. I apologize, folks. I was going to play one video, but it was actually
the substance that we have dedicated a whole hour and a half to every week, knowing it's
not it. Folks, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and just call it a day, and we'll just bring that back next time for time's sake. It's nearly 1:30 East Central Standard Time, so we'll play these other videos on next week. Join me. I got more ammunition, if you will, on leprosy, Bible leprosy. We have not yet went over this book, the Bible, talking about this. I've been staying in Leviticus 13. Let me get some more scriptures right quick. For those of you that's hearing this for the first time, you also can find leprosy scriptures or stories of people with leprosy. And you can see, and it'll validate, these stories will validate what Brother Seth has shared tonight, and that is 2 Chronicles 26:1. 2 Chronicles 26:1, this is about a king, Uzziah. Listen to how he was smitten with leprosy. He actually had it in his forehead. So if it was in his forehead, it had to have been whitened because you can't have twisted fingers, a twisted forehead. You can't have a twisted forehead. Your forehead is just a forehead. So that's crazy. He had leprosy in the forehead. It was nothing more than whiteness, okay? King Azariah in that 2 Kings 15:5. King Azariah, 2 Kings 15:5. Okay, that's another story. Read the story. Look at how he had it. Look at what different things that evolved around that. Okay, Simon the leper in Matthew 26:6. That's actually his name, Simon the leper. Simon the leper, Matthew 26:6. And again, like I've said every week, if he was healed by the Messiah, and the Messiah did cleanse him of his leprosy, why did they continue to call him Simon the leper? Why would you call somebody Simon the somebody was a cripple, why would you call Joe the cripple a cripple? I can see why you would call him when he's a cripple, Joe the cripple, but after he's been healed by the Messiah, why would you continue to call him Joe the cripple? Because Simon wasn't healed of leprosy. Christ cleansed the lepers. He didn't heal lepers. He cleansed the lepers. Y'all, research me and come back next week and correct me. I'm telling you, he cleansed lepers. Simon continued to be a leper. He was just a cleansed leper. There's two types of leprosy. We talked about it. I mean, there's lots of types. And within the types of leprosy, there's like six different types of variations. But within those variations, you have clean and unclean. Clean means you're accepted by society. You can go and mingle among everybody. Unclean means you could not accept, you was not accepted by society. You couldn't be a priest. You couldn't work in the temple. There's lots of things you couldn't do, obviously because somebody in your family is associated with the sin. Okay? And that's Simon the leper of Matthew 26:6. Of the 10 lepers that was cleansed in Luke 17:11-19, these are 10 people that had this plague. Again, it's plague. Don't use the word disease. It wasn't contagious and it wasn't fatal. Okay? Luke 17:11-19. Christ simply cleansed. And all that was those that had a spot, that had their white hair. That means they was unclean, right? Because they had a white hair. Christ would touch them and that spot becomes somewhat dark. Once it becomes dark, they're cleansed. or if you had a white spot and it was spreading and had a yellow hair in it. I don't think we got down to reading about the yellow hair, but if you keep reading, as I ask you to do for homework, you will see them talk about something called a yellow hair. More than once in Leviticus 13, and the yellow hair is nothing more than blonde. Blonde hair was associated with this plague, folks. I'm telling you. Anyway, if you had a spreading spot and it had a yellow hair, the priest would keep looking at you and looking at you. All that Christ was doing was turning any part of that spot that was white and it had this reddish whiteness in it, had that, you was unclean. If you had the white hair, like I said earlier, you was unclean. Christ would touch that spot, and all of that would become one tone. If it was one tone, you was cleansed. If it had the reddish white or the quick raw flesh, okay, then you was unclean. He was just simply turning it to skin one tone. And there's medicine today that actually does the same thing. So there is a such thing as that skin becoming one tone versus a certain patch of it being reddish white. It was a blemish. Don't ask me why the Most High thought that was important, but he thought it was important. And it, people was cursed with a blemish on their skin. On their skin, for some reason, they was cursed with white spots, and these reddish white spots, they was cursed. Why? I don't know. It's the Bible. It's all throughout it. We're going to get into it a little further later. But again, check out those 10 lepers. Research that. And again, Moses' hand turning white. The Bible said he became lepers in snow. That's in Exodus 4 and 6. Miriam 12 and 10, we read about that. And there was four lepers at a gate. Check that out. That is what proved that leprosy is not fatal, because they said, why sit here till we die? Everybody wants to say, oh, they were going to die. But they went on to say that if we go out to the enemy's camp and steal us some food, we'll live. We will live. But if you got leprosy and you're going to die, what's food going to do for you? That proves that they weren't going to die. They just said, why sit here and die of starvation, not their leprosy state. Folks, that is it, another episode of Bible Leprosy. Join us next week. I promise you, I'm going to hit you with new information, but I got to give it to you in doses. So this is the glory of this so-called dark skin. It's not to, again, put anyone down or lift anyone up, but this is the true glory. The Most High is the one that gave this brown skin this kind of glory, okay? It's just that simple, folks. It's just that simple. I wish I could make it more simple, but that's it. So anyway, check this out as we go out, this song, okay? We got to get it all back, all of the glory of this brown skin. I'm talking about as a white person even. You need to get this information. So you need to hear of this glory of this brown skin, what it does, what the Most High meant it to be for. Folks, this is very serious, okay? So we'll go out with this song and just think about getting it all back, getting back the correct information.
Come on! Yeah! If you want it all back, jump to the beat right now!